Today I'm talking to Rachel Jenkinson, born Rachel Mainprice, to one of Scarborough's famous fishing families. She's an author. Her brother, Bob, commissioned the Maggie M, the largest trawler to operate out of Scarborough. And I want to start by asking Rachel about the trip to Campbelltown in Scotland to christen her.
All the family went. It was a very emotional trip at the time. As my mother was due to launch, she was, after all, called after my mother, Maggie M, MBE. But unfortunately, she died before the boat launch. So, yes, it was a very emotional trip for a lot of us. But in the old Scottish welcoming way, they all tried to make sure we all had a brilliant time. Naming ceremony over, boating water. We went back to our hotels and prepared for the dinner dance at night, where speeches and thanks were made. Then we had a dance. Everybody dressed in fancy dress, which was wonderful. And the Scottish people ensured that even though, yes, it was an emotional time, we all had a very good time.
And I'm sure she was there in spirit in any event, wasn't she?
I'm sure she was.
Now, fishing, lifeboat work, all that kind of maritime work is hazardous, it's dangerous. And I'm interested to know whether there's a reluctance on the part of fishing families to allow their children to go into that career. And if they do they manage to stay away from it?
Well, I was born in a fishing family. When my mother found out I was a girl and not a boy, she would have sent me back if she could. Boys were very important. They were the next generation of fishing and were encouraged in every way in our family to go to sea. You didn't play with ducks in the bath or anything. It was always boats. Everything. My elder brother Larry used to come home from school, and before he could go out to play with his mates, he had to make pots, crab pots. My job was cleaning up. My younger brother was too young at the time to be doing anything then. Fortunately, I married a fisherman, and we had a son that was encouraged from a very early age to go to sea, and yet he did. He went with his dad, and with a photograph where he's picking a cod up, and the cod is actually bigger than he is. And he was encouraged, and we got a boat called the Our Margaret. She was built at Nottingham, steel she was, and one of the crew went around the winch. He had to go to hospital. One or two things happened, and some of the old fishermen on top said, there's a witch aboard, which you can't afford it. Which you can't afford it, Scott. And Colin come home, and he said, get our William ready for sea. I'm taking him off. And he was only young, so he went to sea. And Colin said, if the crew and those old men see me taking my own son, they'll leave the witch alone. And touch wood, we never had any more.
What a wonderful story. I'd like to talk a little bit about Ganseys. Tell me how many of these you knitted in your time, and tell me a little bit about the design of these things.
The first time I ever saw a fisherman's jersey being knitted was by my auntie knitting with five steel needles. A jersey is knitted in one piece totally, with a seam running up each side. Now, finely patterns are absolutely gorgeous. Whitby patterns, very ornate, lovely. Scarborough pattern, more plain up to the chest, then two and two change. The idea of Ganses was the one knitted in a certain sort of wool, a fine wool, but an oily. This was to keep the wind and cold out. It actually worked. It did. But also, in them days, a lot of boats foundered, a lot of men were lost. Jerseys became an identification of a person, especially if they'd been in the water a long time. And every woman that knit them knew her own knitting, and in fact, they were called in such. Yet they could identify.
That's a wonderful description of those. I'd like to move on to the issue of adoptions within the community, times when children became orphans. How would that be dealt with in the community?
Well, I think one particular tragedy where the father was lost at sea. He was father to little gorgeous bonny girls. This community all joined together, without exception, to look after his wife and children. They all did individual things, fundraising. They were looked after until his wife gradually became able to sort herself and her life out. Any tragedy, any, and there has been an awful lot from Scarborough, anything like that. It doesn't matter how much one man's arguing with another over fishing or trawling or potting. Any tragedy, all that's forgotten, they all come together and stand firm. It's a shame that they can't do that all the time instead of waiting for something terrible to happen.
One of the people that I spoke to some time ago, and she's no longer with us, was Cassie Pellucci. And I recall her telling me how she had arrived with her brothers at Scarborough. They'd run away from home, and the community here took them all under their wing, and they became part of that community. I think you had some stories relating to Cassie that you might want to tell us now.
Well, she can't clip me round here, old cat. She was a character, was Cassie, and her brother was a very successful deep sea fisherman out of Grimsby, and he was very much respected. But Cassie was always part of the community. And one day, Princess Street, where she used to live, was evacuated with Cassie going berserk. And they had this house. They found explosives in it. The bomb squad and everybody had come down and evacuated the whole lot, saying Princess Street was going to be blown up. Another thing was, Cassie was always game for a Shrove Tuesday. Before the middle bit was built on the seafront, we used to have a big, thick mooring rope spread right across the road. If you bolted in, it could knock you off feet. But we were the first one. Fishermen in pub in Long Nelson would come out and have skipping it. With sea boots and the lot, it was fun. Cassie was always blonde. She wasn't a dizzy blonde, she was blonde. She used to come down. She went in the robe, and kept saying faster, faster. So we tried to do it faster, and she clicked the rope, which swung round her head. Then on the road was her head, and I thought hell would knock her off her shoulders. We'd decapitated her, but as it was still stood, it was awake, and it shone right across the road. She walked across, picked it up, plonked it back on her head, went back in rope and said again.
What a wonderful story to end on. Rachel, it's been an absolute delight to talk to you today. Thank you very much.